Hallelujah. Well, this morning I'm going to share something with you. I want to share an experience of mine. Not really a testimony, but just an experience. But I'm going to do it in a little bit different way. How many of you, since you became a Christian, have just gotten so overwhelmed, so tired, so worn out, so, I don't know, that you just want to not give up being a Christian, but you just want to go someplace and hide and not have to do anything and just exist? I don't need a show of hands, but I know that almost every one of us can say we've had that feeling at one time or another. And about, maybe a year ago, I was praying and I asked the Lord, I says, "Why me? Why have you called me to where you have me functioning right now? Why am I so much different than these other people that you have to have me?" And any of you that don't know the story, in 2005, the Lord told me in front of a Wednesday night service that I was a pastor. That's where I became a pastor, from Him. Not from any school, not from anything else. I went and told Pastor Don the next day what I said, and he just looked at me and says, "I was wondering when you were going to accept it." So, you know, I'm here because this is where the Lord put me. Not because I wanted it. Oh, by no means did I want it. Well, I'm asking Him, I'm going, "What is up? Why me?" And He told me why. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you in what I call my transfer request. Amen. I'm ex-military. And so I do things kind of with a military mode. And I didn't really write this letter to Him, but this is what I would have written if I'd have been an actual military soldier asking for a transfer. To Jesus Christ, Commander-in-Chief, Spiritual Armed Forces of the Lord God. Subject, transfer. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm writing this to you to request a transfer from the battlefield to a desk job or other similar menial assignment. I herewith present my reasons for this request. I began my career in your spiritual armed forces as a private. But because of the intensity of the battle, you have quickly promoted me up through the ranks. You have made me an officer, and you've given me a tremendous amount of responsibility. There are many soldiers and new recruits under my charge. I am constantly being called upon to dispense wisdom, to make judgments, and to find solutions to complex problems. You have placed me in a position to function as an officer, when in my heart, I know that I have only the skills of a private. I don't feel that I am qualified to do the job you are asking me to do for you. I realize that you have promised to supply all I would need for the battle. But, sir, I must present you with a realistic picture of my circumstances and my equipment. As if you didn't know what my circumstances and my equipment were. And the condition of the battle that I'm in. My uniform, once crisp and starched, is now stained with the tears and the blood of those I have tried to assist. It is ragged and torn from the many engagements with the enemy. The soles of my boots are cracked and worn from the miles I have walked, trying to enlist, encourage, and instruct your troops. My weapons are marred, tarnished, chipped, and broken from the constant battle with the enemy. Even the book of regulations I was issued at enlistment has been torn and tattered and stained from endless use. Many of the words are now smeared and hard to read, and some are even unreadable. You have promised you would be with me always. But when the noise of the battle is so loud, and the enemy is pressing in on all sides, and the confusion is so great, I can neither see you nor hear you. I feel so all alone. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm discouraged. And I have battle fatigue. I would never ask you for a discharge. I love being in your service. But I humbly request a demotion and a transfer to a less important assignment. I'll file papers or I'll clean latrines. For you non-military people, that's bathrooms. If you're British, it's a loo. You know, just get me out of the battle zone, sir, please. Your faithful but tired soldier. And essentially, when I was talking to him, that's basically what I told him. Maybe not in those exact words, but I get a letter back. To faithful but tired soldier, Spiritual Armed Forces of the Lord God, location, the Battlefield Battalion, subject, transfer. Dear soldier, your request for transfer has been denied. I herewith present with you my reasons for denial. First, it appears that you have not spent enough time studying the book of regulations that I gave you at your enlistment. So let me refresh your memory some. First of all, you are greatly needed in this battle. Please note that even though I am no respecter of persons, I don't promote everyone up through the ranks to positions of leadership. There must always be soldiers and workers on the front lines, and I have decided who will be promoted and when they will be promoted. I have my reasons for choosing as I do. I have selected you not according to your natural abilities, but according to your willingness and your obedience, and according to my word. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll begin to look at some of his regulations that he told me I was not spending enough time in. Beginning with verse 11, we'll go through 16. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plots, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now I want to go to the Amplified for a minute, and I want to read some of that from the Amplified. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, in the Amplified. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles. The Amplified calls them special messengers. But the Lord said to me, my apostles are like point men in the military. Point men in the military are those in the squads when they go out on missions and patrols that go out ahead of the rest of the body. They go out and they search out the enemy. And they find out what he's doing. And they protect the rest of the body by letting them know what's going on. So he says, when I give apostles in my army, they're point men. They're the ones that go out and establish new ground in enemy territory. Some prophets, Amplified says those are inspired preachers and expounders. And he shared with me, he said, those prophets, now those are the intelligence officers or the intelligence gatherers of my army. Those are the ones who do the research, who through prayer and fasting discover what the enemy's up to. And they keep my generals and my other leaders informed about what's happening with the enemy and what the enemy intends to do next so that they're protected. He says, no, my prophets are like the intelligence officers in the real army. Some evangelists, he says, these evangelists, they're the preachers of the gospel, according to the Amplified. No, he says, my evangelists are my recruiting officers and others that I use in that manner, that I use to recruit new recruits into my army. Just like the army has to have recruiting officers, I have mine, and they're evangelists. Traveling missionaries. Some pastors, shepherds of his flock and teachers, according to the Amplified. He says, no, my pastors and my teachers, those are the army drill instructors and the advanced technical school trainers. Those are the ones that equip and train my new recruits into fighting machines, into recruits who are qualified and able fighting soldiers, capable of dealing the enemy a deadly blow. That's their job. No, he says, I have equipped you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6. He says, I've equipped you with everything you need for the battle. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. No, he says, therefore you need to take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against in the evil day, and having done all, to still stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then also, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Notice how you're supposed to pray. Praying always with all supplication, but praying in the Spirit. For you know not how to pray yourself, but the Spirit gives the utterance. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. No, he says, I've equipped you. You know what's interesting in the Amplified, verses 10 and 11 read a little bit differently. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him. that strength which His boundless might provides. He says, I've equipped you. You just have to know where to get that. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavily armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all of the strategies and deceits of the devil. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. No, he says, you need to review that book of regulations that I gave you. You haven't been spending enough time in it. You don't need a demotion or a transfer. I've chosen you, I've trained you, I've equipped you, and I must have supplied you with all that you will ever need. He says, besides, you'd never cut it on latrine duty. Yeah, he likes a good joke too. He's right. I hated it. No, what you need is a period of R&R. That's not rest and recuperation. That's renewal and rekindling. I'm setting aside a place on the battlefield that is insulated from all sound and fully protected from the enemy. Psalm 23, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 23 is not a psalm for funerals. It's a psalm for people who know their God. Psalm 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 91. Start with verse 7 through 12. He's going to prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And he's going to insulate me so that they can't get to me. And he's going to spend time with me. And he's going to renew me. And he's going to rekindle me, so that I can continue in the job that He's set me in place to do. Whether I think I'm qualified or not doesn't matter to Him. He knows how to qualify me. He knows how to qualify you for what He's called you to do. And it may not be the same thing that He's called me to do. He said He does not make everyone leaders. He has to have soldiers. You might be an evangelist. You might even be a point man, an apostle, called to go out and break new ground for Him. Psalm 91, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. No, I'm in that secret place. I'm insulated from everything that's around me. And I've stepped into there so that He can meet with me one-on-one, so that I can be in His glory, so that He can renew and rekindle me. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. No, you can still see what's going on. What's going on around you. You can still see all of that. It's just they can't get to you. I don't know if they can see you or not. Doesn't matter. They can't get to you. That's what matters. He has put up a shield of insulation, a force field, if you will, for you Trekkies. You know? You're protected. You're surrounded by Him. And He's going to renew and rekindle you while you're in that place. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Why? Because He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your feet upon a stone. I have all of my fingers because of his angels having charge over me. They threw my hand back out of that saw blade. There was enough blade exposed to have taken my whole hand off very easily. He told me not to do what I did, and I did it anyways. So the first thing I had to do was ask for forgiveness. And then I thanked him for his angels that protected me, even though I did something stupid. See, he'll let you do something stupid because he's not a forceful God. But he told me beforehand, don't do that. Just like he told us in Deuteronomy, choose life. Amen? Choose life. Don't do that. Do it some other way. I can do it. Hey. Didn't listen. He says, I'll meet you there. And there I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Beginning with verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, he didn't say, I'll come to you. He said, there I will give you rest. I had to go to the secret place first myself. I had to come to him by coming to his place of refuge. And there I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the Amplified verse 29 reads really interestingly. And the Amplified verse 29 reads, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle. I am meek, I am humble, I am lowly, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. He got really more explicit there in the Amplified. In other words, any kind of rest and recuperation that you need, you're going to find it when you take your rest in me. Amen? God is good, and he's good all the time. He says, I'll remove your old and worn out equipment and make all things new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You know, it's not just for getting born again. It's when you need things replaced and renewed. I'll make all things new. You missed out. We're talking about the transfer I requested and didn't get. These are the reasons for his denial. You've been wounded in the battle, my soldier. Your wounds may not be visible, but you have received grave internal injuries. You need to be healed. Matthew 12. 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. When he knew it, he healed them all. When I requested of him the transfer, he knew then that I needed healing. No, he knew beforehand. He wanted me to ask first. He doesn't do anything on his own unless you ask him to do it. He's not going to force himself on you. Psalm 103:3. Psalm 103:3. Actually, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. I'll heal you, he said. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Healing doesn't come from anybody else. Can't heal yourself. Doctors can't even heal you. Lord's got to do it. Amen. Took the stitches out Friday. By the time I got home, it was opened up again. Yeah, doctors, they tried. Now we're going to let God heal it. Right. Amen.
Amen.
I got work to do. Can't wait on it. Can't wait on doctor's healing. And he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight. Remember he said, you haven't been reading enough of my book of regulations that I gave you at enlistment. That's what he told me. See, I hadn't been studying enough to remember what he said in his regulations. And so he's had to remind me of why he can't give me my transfer. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases which have come upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord God who heals you. I'll heal you, he said. Doesn't matter whether the wounds are physical, whether they're emotional, whether they're spiritual. He is the Lord that will heal you. Come to him and ask for forgiveness. You always need to ask for forgiveness, whether you think you do or not, because you've always done something that's probably not right in his sight. You know, we're human. That's the way I always go to him anyways. You know, Lord, forgive me if I've done anything that's offended you. Now, heal me. And you know, you can get bold with him. You don't have to beg for anything. You can get bold. You can command him to heal you. Number one, because he already has. It's not something he has to do. It's something he's already done. And he said in his word, remind me of my word, and he said in his word, I heal you. Okay, heal me. Yeah. And I don't mean that in the wrong sense of the word of being bold. I just mean you can be bold with him. You know, how many of you have ever got bold with your parents in the past? And then ducked. No. I've been there, had to duck a couple times. But there's other times when certain things, you know, they say, I'm going to get you a new bicycle for your birthday. Your birthday comes, no bicycle. Next day, still no bicycle. You go to them and say, hey, you told me you were going to get me a bicycle for my birthday. My birthday's passed. Where's the bicycle? They usually have a reason, like we had to wait till payday to get it. You know, I didn't grow up in a rich family. And so we had to wait. We didn't quite have enough to pay for it yet. Okay. A week went by. I got the bike. But in the meantime, where is it? That's being bold. God says, I'll heal you. I don't have it. Where's that? How come? Well, because you haven't done what I told you to do to receive it.
That's right.
That's why you don't have it.
That's right. Yeah.
It's not that I didn't do it. Just talking like he did to me. You've been weakened in the battle, and you need to be strengthened. I will strengthen you, and I will be your strength. Psalm 89, please, verse 21. Psalm 89, verse 21. With whom my hand shall be established, also my arm shall strengthen him. You know, that we've probably blasted through these things in the past and never even realized what we were reading here. He says, with my arm I will strengthen you. Now, to me, if he's going to use just his arm to strengthen me, he must be really strong. Amen. And maybe his arm is going to become my arm. His strength is going to become my strength. How's that going to happen? Well, when I do what he tells me to do, then it becomes done in his power and his strength. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The spirit of the Lord will come upon you and he will strengthen you. Let's go to Isaiah 41, beginning with verse 10. Hallelujah. God is good. You know, I asked for this transfer because I didn't believe that I was capable of doing what he's called me to do. And he denied my transfer and he gave me all of the reasons why. And after I started going through them, I'm going, well, he obviously knows what he's doing. Because I would have never put myself where he did. Knowing what I was, where I came from. But not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. You know, that in itself is just an awesome line of verse. Fear not, for I am with you. Oh, but I don't feel you. I don't see you. I don't hear you. It doesn't matter. You know, it reminds me of that. It's went around for years, the footprints in the sand. And there's two prints, two sets of prints, then there's one set of prints, and then there's two again. I don't know if you've ever seen it that way or not. I have. Lord, where were you when I walked on the beach alone? He goes, I was there. I was carrying you. I was carrying you. That my footprint you're looking at. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now it's down from an arm to a hand. Is he getting stronger or what? Or are you listening more to what he's telling you to do now? And it takes less of him to strengthen you. Yeah. His strength doesn't change. He's all powerful. No need to change. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will instill confidence and ability that you don't think you have. He says, you're not feeling confidence to do the job or have the ability. He says, I will instill in you confidence. I will instill in you ability. Let's go to John chapter 15, verse 4 through 7. And then we'll go to 1 John 5 after that. John 15, verses 4 through 7. John 15, verse 4. Abide in me, requirement number one. Before you can be strengthened and have confidence built in him, you must abide in him. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I of myself can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words, here we go again, that book of regulation that I got at an enlistment that he told me I wasn't spending enough time in, here we go. And if my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. What better confidence could you have than to know that whatever you ask God, he's going to do for you? That's confidence. My God shall supply all of my needs. He will give me the desires of my heart. Now, here's what's interesting. This is the way I believe that's worded. He'll give me the desires of my heart. Not whatever I desire. He will place within my heart the desires he wants to be there. Because I might desire something that's not in his will, and he is not going to give me that. But he'll place his desires within my heart, and then he will give me the desires of my heart. Both will he place them there, and will he give them to me. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. 1 John 5, starting with verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. Number one, I got to know his word. Number two, I got to abide in him. Actually, it should be the other way around. I got to abide in him first. Then I'll know his word. That if we ask anything according to what?
His will,
not my will, not your will. He hears us. And if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. I'll instill in you confidence and abilities, what he said to me. Well, I've only read things about confidence, but let me explain something to you. When you have confidence, ability follows. I can't do nothing of myself. Therefore, I have confidence in him that I can do all things through Christ. No matter what it is. You know, I took on a total bathroom remodel. I was a welder by profession and then an environmental protection specialist. Okay? I took on a total bathroom remodel. And when I say total, I mean down to the bare wall studs. New sheetrock, new floor, tile. Never done tile before. She wouldn't let me do something easy like put out a roll of linoleum. No, it had to have tile. The bathtub comes out. We got to have a walk-in tiled shower. You know, I can do all things through Christ. Well, all that's left is a shower. You know, I mean, we've got new walls, we've got a tiled floor, we've got new vanity sink. It's all been replumbed. Had to move plumbing around too. You know, got in a hurry, so now I'm taking a break before I finish the shower because I wouldn't listen to him. You know, what caused this was me trying to cut too small of a piece on a table saw instead of using something else that would have been easier and safer to use. And I. No, I can do this. Well, he said don't do it.
Yeah.
I did it. I was confident in myself that I could do it, not in him. My confidence has to be in him.
That's right.
My words will rekindle within you renewed love, zeal, and enthusiasm. Now, remember, he's talking to me here. He says, I'm going to rebuild that fire. He says, the fire hasn't gone out. It's just low on fuel. We're going to throw a few coals on the fire. It's going to get hot again. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. Shouldn't be unfamiliar to anybody, really. I'll read it to you first from here. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Get your nose back in that book of regulations and find out what it has to say. That's what he told me. He says, everything you need to know about the job I've called you to do is in that book of regulations. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Even if you don't have that book with you in hand, you're supposed to know what it says because you're supposed to have it in your heart. And you're not going to have it in your heart if you don't spend enough time in it. You know? When something like this happens, it's not the time to have to run and find the word and find out what to say over it. When something like this happens is when you need to have it here and be able to speak immediately to it.
That's right.
Or when you come upon a major accident on the highway. Not the time to pull out your Bible and say, what do I pray, Lord? No, no. It flows from the heart because you have it in the midst of your heart. Look at 22. For they are life. What's the they?
Words.
It's what? His words? Where did his words come from? From his book of regulations, that's right. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. You want to stay healthy? You want to live? Put his book of regulations on your heart. Let me read that in the Amplified, though. Especially verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Now listen to this. Consent and submit to my sayings. See the difference? Oh, let me have it there. In the Amplified, he says, you must consent and submit to my sayings, not just know them. Yeah, it's okay. And the last thing that he said to me is, I want you to report to me tattered and empty. I'll refill you. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 21. We probably could have started at 15, but I want to start with 8 for a reason. Because of where I once come from. For you were once darkness. Every one of us was once darkness. It may have been when you were first born, and you may have been then raised in a Christian family, but you were once darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Why do you think the world hates us when we get around them? Because we shine the light of God on the things that they're doing that aren't supposed to be seen. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He says, you're not going to understand my will if you don't know my book of regulations. When I was in the military, we had a book called the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and it governed everything we did while we were in the military. It was nothing like this book of regulations. It was much stricter, with a lot greater punishment, believe it or not, other than spending life in hell and eternity. Yeah. That's probably the greatest punishment I could ever think of. Yeah. But we had our book of regulations called the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and it governed every just about breath that you did while you were in. You belonged to them 24/7. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And there's part of that filling that he's going to do. That's that new wine. It's that heavenly kind coming down from the Father of lights. And you know, you can drink as much of it as you want. You may get drunk, but you won't have that hangover the next day that the world has. Been there, done that, don't like it. Oh, I like it the night before. But when you get up in the morning, oh my God. And that's usually the first thing you say. Isn't that interesting? You know, I've been out on the night partying, got drunker than a skunk, woke up hurting, and what's the first thing is, oh my God, what did I do? Well, you should have asked him the night before. Maybe he would have kept you from doing it. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, you want to get full? You want to get filled up? Sing in your heart. You can sing to one another even. Singing his type of stuff and not the worldly stuff. And you'll get full. You get filled up. You get drunk. You fall down. Happens. Come home. Used to come home all the time, find my wife laid out in the middle of the living room floor. Passed out. Not on worldly stuff, though. Her and her friend that she used to have, I mean, they'd just be laid out, prone, drunk, passed out, soaking in the Lord. As Todd Bentley used to say, he was marinating in the presence of God. You know what it means to marinate something, right? Those of you that cook do, anyways. Praise God. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. He said, report to me tattered and empty, and I'm going to fill you back up. And I'm going to show you how to stay full. Let's go over to John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. When he was done with me, I went, oh my God, Lord, I'm sorry. And then I said, but still, why me? Because, he said, I chose you. I choose who I want.
That's right.
John 14, verses 16 through 18. You could start with 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. It applies. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. Verse 18, and I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. See, I told him that in the midst of the battle on the battlefield, I never saw him, I couldn't hear him, I couldn't feel him, I couldn't see him. And I felt so all alone. He says, I'll never leave you. I was always there. You just didn't step into the place where I was. John 16, 12 through 15. We're going to finish with this, I think, maybe. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And when I went to him praying about this request for transfer, he then chastened me. That's what his denial for request was. Especially the way he gave it back to me. So, I know I'm loved. Amen? I know I'm getting drunk too. John chapter 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, my son, my soldier. But you can't bear them now. Oh, my God. What's next? When he gave me that, I went, I can't bear them now? What is next then? You're not going to tell me until it's time. I still have many things to say to you, my soldier, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will speak. Yeah. Oh, my God. For he will speak not on his own authority, but whatever he hears from me, he will speak. You know, they left that out. The translator left that out. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears from me, God speaking, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. When it's his time, he'll tell me things to come. Amen. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, and he will declare it to you. Remember, I came to him tattered and empty, and he's refilling me. Amen? He'll take what is mine, and he'll declare it to you. In other words, he'll give it to me. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now, you follow that? Jesus said to me, I will declare all things of the Father to you. Because all things of the Father are already mine. You know, over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, in the Amplified, if you read it in the Amplified, he says that all of the Trinity resides in Jesus, even though he's the Son. And if you have the Son living in you, then all of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are all residing in you. Gosh, I'm full today. Amen? I mean, he fills me to overflowing just with that verse alone. For in him, oh, you put it up. For in him, I was going to read the other one. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Bodily, not spiritually. This is what's important, what people don't understand. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Talking about Jesus. Jesus, when he was on the earth, walking as a human being like you and I. And you are complete in him, Jesus, who is the head of all principality and power. Now, since we went there, let me read you the Amplified. I just happen to have my Amplified today. I wanted to turn the volume up. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 10. No, verse 9. For in him, Jesus, capitalized him, for in him, the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form. Not spiritual form, people. You got to understand that. So many people think it's spiritual. No. Bodily form. All the fullness of the Godhead continues to dwell in Jesus in bodily form, while he walked the face of the earth. He did that as an example for us, so that we could know and do exactly the same things he did.
Amen. Yes,
sir. Including raising from the grave.
That's right.
Why do you think Smith Wigglesworth's been able to raise people from the dead when in his ministry, and some of these others that have? Because he understood that in the fullness of God resided in him in bodily form, just like it did in Jesus. And he called upon that Spirit of God. Amen? In bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. In bodily form, but expressing what divine nature was. Verse 10. And you are in him, Jesus, made full and having come to fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you reach full spiritual maturity in bodily form. Not in the sweet by and by. Not after we're raptured. We're supposed to walk in it right now. And it doesn't say here pastors and ministers,
right,
sorry, or apostles and prophets.
Right.
It says you, referring to the church, the saints.
Right.
You reach full spiritual stature, and he is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. And that's why, my folks, the devil is under my feet.
Right.
Because Jesus has rule over all principality and power. You know, when he was in hell, I believe it was Kenneth Copeland made this statement. He made a show of the devil openly. Scripture says so, right?
Yes, yes.
Guess what he was doing? He was parading the devil around the halls of hell, letting all of his minions see who was in charge.
Yep.
And then the Father said, okay, you've had enough fun. Come on. Come on. Can't you see it? I sure can. And he made a show of him openly. That's what Scripture says. Didn't get into detail. Let you do the detail yourself. And that's what I see. When I heard that story, I went, oh my God, that is so beautiful. I love it. Here's the devil being paraded around the halls of his, whatever you want to call it, dominion, I guess, by Jesus, letting all of his minions those fallen angels that decided to follow him. Boy, did they screw up. He's not in charge. He's not in control. He's being paraded. Guess what? You can parade him.
That's right.
You have the same Spirit of God in you that Jesus had. You can parade him.
Yes, sir.
You do. I know you do. You can parade him. I can parade him. I can make a show of him openly. But boy, you better know who you are in Christ. Because if you don't know who you are in Christ, he'll smack you. You ever seen that? Anybody seen that commercial on TV? DirecTV has the thing about their planet with the three pixies flying in. And then Comcast has one now. The three pixies fly into the Comcast one, and the guy goes, swats them right into the blackboard. That's the devil when he tries to come to me. He's just a little guy. He ain't big. He ain't powerful. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. Oh, my. Stand your feet. Give the Lord a shout of praise. God is good. Compassionately, your commander in chief, Jesus Christ. And he ended the letter of denial. Now, denial. Denial of transfer. He said, no, you're going to serve right where you're at. That's where I've called you. That's where I've put you. Until I change that, that's where you're at. And oh my God, if he's going to change it, where's it going next? I don't want to know. Please don't tell me. Amen.